Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor.
We welcome you to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast, your home for the best league in the world, that is the Zweite Bundesliga. I'm your host Matthew Carrigich. It's a pleasure to have your company once again, and we have plenty to get through. To help me get through all the action and preview all the action on match day 8 is the wonderful Eva Lotti Boll. Eva, how are you doing this fine day?
Very good. Very excited about the weekend. How are you doing?
Not too bad. It's another rarity that both of our teams won on the weekend. So we are should be in buoyed in good spirit, and we are, and we'll get everything underway as we review match day 7. We'll start in Stuttgart as they hosted Greuther Fürth. This game ended 2-0 to the host, but the scoreline may be a little bit flattering for Stuttgart. Fürth were very, very impressive off the ball, and they actually had 55% of the possession, but their inability to take said chances, I know Tobias Moore hits the post and crossbar, was enough. Daniel Didavi's bundled in effort just before 2 minutes, and then Philip Forster, 9 minutes from time, giving the Swabians all 3 points and a remaining command of the top of the table. Eva, this game may have been a little bit worrisome. There were some vulnerabilities with the way Stuttgart played, and something we'll talk about later on. How did you think they got on, and did you think that Fürth were a bit unlucky with how the result panned out?
Well, we talked about it earlier as well, or in the last podcast. Stuttgart has the way of getting the results. I'm a bit afraid how they will play if they actually start to play decent football. No offense here, but I think they, just looking at the team, looking at the worth at the team, there's much more that can come from it. I think there were some, they pretty much handled the injuries very well. I think Kobel and Castle, if your goalkeeper has to be substituted after 20 minutes, that's not really good. I think, like, on the one end, I understand the Stuttgart fans that they were a bit surprised on how harsh some Fürth players were going into the duels. Some were, especially second half, if you look at the foul on Gonzalez, for me that is a red card because he just goes straight, like, there's no point that he will ever get the ball. But on the other hand, they're a top team in the Zweite Bundesliga. This is something that Bayern or Dortmund has to struggle for a couple of years now, getting all those really, really a lot of fouls against yourself. And they have to find a way to handle that. But yeah, it was not a very good performance. Fürth was just very unlucky.
They were, and this was a game I had a look at for Football Bloody Hell. Do check that out if you have time, of course. It was very impressive from Fürth. I really enjoyed the way that they pressed, especially in Stuttgart's defensive third. They really strangled them, and as a result, they were able to get turnovers. They were able to get that transition into possession and create opportunities on goal. It's just a shame for them that they weren't able to convert on those chances. We'll move to the north with Hamburg. They hosted Erzgebirge Aue, and this, well, the scoreline says it wasn't a contest. So the statistics may say otherwise. 4-0, the final score. Joshua Wagnermann with an excellent goal to open the scoring. Lucas Hinterseer, Martin Harnik and Aaron Hunt all getting on the score sheet. They had 5 shots on goal in the entire game, Hamburg. They scored on 4 of them. Martin Harnik injected into the starting lineup. He was superb. Goal and a couple of assists. A really impressive display for him. And Eva, a solid display for Hamburg and one needed after the Derby Day defeat.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was the answer that many Hamburg fans were hoping for. Because, in the past, especially in the last year, last season, of course, those were the games they might have not really shown a good display, and they did it this week or the last weekend. Sorry, I can't speak this morning. And yeah, for Martin Hanek, I think it was really good to show some people that were criticizing him that weren't sure if he fits into that Hamburg side. I think we, as included, we were not really sure how he can help them, but he did a really good job on the weekend. Really, he seemed to be very good in touch with all his team players. And yeah, Hamburg, in comparison to some other games, they really used the chances they had, as you said, four of the five shots were goals. And I think after the 4-0, they just stopped playing. They were just hoping they don't get another three. So after the 4-0, there was not much going on. Very good display for Hamburg, but they have to carry on because it's only 3 points, of course.
Yeah, it was a much needed 3 points in regard to the bounce back. We know from last season, as you mentioned, this is the kind of game they would have dropped. They were able to really control in midfield. They had a bunch of possession, and Auer really didn't create enough quality scoring chances to test Daniel Hoyer Fernandez. He could have set up a picnic table and just watched the game because he was seldomly challenged. And yeah, that's the kind of performance that Dieter Hecking would look for: efficiency in front of goal, defensively unchallenged, 3 points all round. Our last game was in Nuremberg. They hosted Karlsruhe. This game ended all square at one apiece. Johannes Geis scoring from the spot in 24 minutes. And then Manuel Stiefler's excellent goal to give Alois Schwarz's side a share of the points. This is a game where Nuremberg had a bunch of possession, but really the talking points were the two goalkeepers. Christian Mateni in particular was under a lot of pressure. He was called out by his coach Demiri Kanadi at the end of the last contest. But he was fantastic in this game. He made multiple high-quality saves to keep Nuremberg from conceding a second. Eva, we know the goalkeeper position is quite difficult. Many of us who record the podcast are part of the goalkeepers' union. It was a good response for him, but you can't help but feel like Nuremberg weren't able to really convert their dominance on the game.
No, not really. I think it's what they're missing is some huge self-confidence. They're not really have it at the moment because they do not play very good football. I think for Martinia, it was a good game because he, in the first or the other five games, he had a lot of moments where he was highly criticized. Looking back at the HSV game, for example, so now it's a bit other way around, but in the end, you do expect a bit more from someone who comes down from the Bundesliga, plays a side that just came up from the Dritte Liga. There should be a difference being seen, not only in the statistics, but as well in the result. And in the end, it's not really surprising for me that Nuremberg didn't get all 3 points, actually.
Yeah, of course, the criticism came for that comedic goal for the 3-2 against Darmstadt, where Patrick Erasch heads the ball and Matenius come out and they collect each other, and then Serdar Dursun walks into an open goal. It is a tough position. It can be tricky because the standard is different from the Bundesliga, where you go from a position where you're trying to save, 15, 20 shots on goal, playing for a low-end Bundesliga side, to a team that's now got expectations, and you get less shots on goal. But that's a concentration thing from Matenya, that his inability to stay concentrated for long periods of time, because unlike in the Bundesliga, when you're playing for a bad side, you face tons of shots, so you're constantly focused. When you become that team that is expected to dominate, has an abundance of possession, there's a lot of times you're not doing anything, and it's in those times where you need to be mentally strong. And this game, he was a lot better, but certainly going forward, he'll have to continue to re-improve, because we know what kind of goalkeeper he can be. So one to watch out for, that is for sure. We'll take our first break, and on the other side, we'll be off to Osnabrück when they hosted St. Pauli. Our first game of the Group 2 matches was in Osnabrück. They hosted St. Pauli. This game ended 1-1. Kevin Voltz's free kick on 12 minutes gave the hosts the lead. And then Rio Miucci equalizing 10 minutes later. Goal set up by an excellent bit of individual brilliance by Dimitrios Diamantakos to weave and slalom his way through the defense before setting up Rio Miucci to give St. Pauli a share of the points. This game had pretty much everything. Lots of frustrations. Jos, the boss, was a bit disappointed with the display, a bit flat. But Eva, we're talking off-air about Daniel Thiun, manager of Osnabrück. He was not a very happy chappy in this one. It was one of those games that they probably could have won, and his frustration may have been justified.
Yeah, I think the feeling was a bit that this was on the pitch more of a derby than the Hartfels and Pauli game was, a bit just from the tension that was going on the pitch and, yeah, within the manager's position. I think it's funny that we talk about, I think if you follow up at the Dritte Liga, you saw how Halle against Preußen Münster, there was a really huge mix-up with the substitution. And here again, I think Daniel Thiun was not really happy how the referee or the fourth referee handled a substitution. He, I quote more or less, was like, "I decide when we substitute and who I substitute, not you. Listen to me." That was, yeah, you can could hear it from the microphones that were on the pitch. That was quite fun. In the end, I think Osnabrück was the better team. As you said, I think they felt a bit hard done by not winning it. There were chances, definitely. But I think, on the other hand, St. Pauli might have fought their way back if Osnabrück would have scored again. So, yeah, I think both sides can live with the draw in the end.
Yeah, it is obviously better than losing, but yeah, I feel probably Osnabrück more so would have had the better chances throughout the game. But yeah, it was one that they certainly rued. And then all the frustration, one of their assistant managers for Daniel Thiun, he got a yellow card, which is always quite funny when someone on the bench gets a booking. But yeah, it was a pretty flat performance from St. Pauli in particular. They, you know, were really slow out of the traps. And that same sort of intensity and vigour that you know helped them win the derby against Hamburg was void for the early part of their game. We'll move to Dresden as they hosted Jahn Regensburg, and this game ended 2-1 for the host. This game, another game that had plenty of tension and drama in it. Jan George opening the scoring on 27 minutes. Musa Kone finishing off an excellently worked move by Dresden to give the hosts a leveler, and then an unbelievable goal by centre-half Florian Balas on 88 minutes to give Dynamo the 2-1 win. A win that I would say they were worthy of winning, but in the same token, Jan might have felt a little bit hard done by when considering the injury situation they were faced early on in the game, and just another team that had plenty of chances but once again failed to convert.
Yeah, I think Dresden was, similar to the St. Pauli game, they had a better second half than they had a first. And looking back to the last 2 years, I think they weren't especially a really good home team. Not similar to the Dritte Liga season or the first Zweite Bundesliga season, but it kind of... Yeah, there were some whistles at halftime, I think a bit too early, because I think the problem with Dresden fans is they do expect a lot from their team. They expect to be in the first five every season, and that's just very difficult. If you look at the other teams that are playing, it's good turnaround for Dresden, but on the other hand, you have to worry about Regensburg. We spoke about it at the beginning of the season. We don't see them really replicating what they did last season, and I think after a couple of games we can more or less say that's right, although there are injuries. But I think with Adamian going, for example, or Agadui going, there's someone missing up front that just scores no matter how bad the rest of the team is, I have the feeling. And they have to find their way back to just believe in themselves.
It is interesting because they were playing one up top in this game. An early injury saw Federico Palacios come into the fray for him to be substituted later in the second half. They do have Jan-Marc Schneider, from formerly of St. Pauli, as well as an option. I just don't think they've found that right mix in the 4-4-2 kind of situation. So that's why they've opted for Grüttner up top. They're a funny team. They're funny in the sense that we're not expecting them to replicate what they did the last couple of seasons under Akim Bielorta. But in the same portion, we sort of keep them to that standard, knowing that, okay, they may have lost Al-Ghadoui and Adamian, but the team is, and Filip Petke to a lesser extent, but the team is relatively the same in many regards. They're a strange one, but they're a team that we're going to have to take a bit of time on under Selim Begovic, and we'll see what happens, but they have a massive game coming up. We'll get to that in a moment. Our last of our Group 2 games is in Heidenheim. They hosted Darmstadt. This game ended 1-0. Very funny old goal from Robert Leipert's court, catching a very perplexed Florian Stritzel, giving the hosts all 3 points. It's their second consecutive win, and it moves them to fourth behind Arminia Bielefeld. It's Robert Leipert's fourth goal of the season. But Eva, the more pressing question is Darmstadt, a team that, you know, had an excellent second half of the season when Dimitris Gramotsis came in. We were quite complimentary of their new signings at the start of the season, but it's just not coming together. We're 7 match days in. They haven't won a game in the last 5. And there are some real concerning signs with the way they play and their inability to create high-scoring chances with some sort of regularity.
And it does surprise me a bit, because if you look at the very first game against Hamburg, I liked a lot of their style of playing. I think I thought, okay, they do continue the last season or the second part of the last season very well under Gramotsis. And yeah, I think they lost it a bit. As you said, there are not a lot of wins for them since the second match day, or none. There are some worries, definitely. They seem to be very uncreative going forward. And then they have some mistake in the defense. They need to stop, because there are always some games you can just win by being the clever team or just be a bit more awake than the other team. And this is all missing from Darmstadt at the moment. They might fight their way back. I thought they'd do it after the last international break, but it's not really going well for them. So we see. I actually had them up very high in the table in my predictions. I'm a bit surprised.
You and me both, looking at the start of the season, I had them in the top 6. I had them 5th as another one of that smoky teams that were going to press the promotion bubble. It is a very bizarre situation what's going on there. That's that the thing that we lauded about them when Gramotsis came in has certainly dissipated, and it is a wonder if they can flick that switch. Otherwise, it could be a replica of the previous campaign for Darmstadt. We'll take our final break of this section of our Match Day 7 review. 3 games to go. We'll start at the Britta Arena with Wiesbaden and Bielefeld in just a moment. Vern Wiesbaden and Arminia Bielefeld are the first cap off the rank in our Group 3 games. This game, the score could have been more. It ended 5-2 for Arminia Bielefeld, despite the sort of hesitancy to admit that they were going to win the game. It was, after probably 20 minutes, this game was really not beyond any sort of doubt. Manuel Schaefer opened the scoring for V Spartan, and he would add another on 56 minutes. He's got 4 goals this season. He's made 4 appearances, so maybe that's a sign that he is the only one really giving a yelp in terms of offensive power. But their real issues, as have been lamented so often in the podcast and on Twitter, is their defending. Oh boy, awful. So the 5 goals. Sabu Suku getting his, I believe it's his first Arminia goal, yes, in the league. Fabian Klaus scoring a brace. Johan Simon Edmondson probably wouldn't have scored an easier goal in his life. And Andreas Vogelsam scoring. He missed a penalty as well. So it could have been 6, but and he could have been second, equal second with goals, but he remains on 4. It was a real celebration for the Bielefeld fans, of course. It was Fabian Klose's 300th appearance, and he capped it off with a brace. 6 goals for the season, which makes him the top scorer of the league so far. Now, Eva, it's easy to lament that in the Rüdiger Riem derby, I was going to bring this up, that like his tenure at both clubs in the Zweite Bundesliga, goals were very much given out. It was a pretty, not a complete display, but one of relative ease. A lot of the goals that Arminia scored were very much lacking any sort of defence.
Yeah, that was really, really true, especially look at the Edmondson goal. I don't know why, in some sort of way, the not the manager, so not Rüdiger Riem, but I think some higher positioning function, whatever, thought it was a foul by Edmondson. Dear sir, it's not our fault when your players are too stupid to just communicate who is getting the ball. They just, yeah, ran into each other. And for a minute there, I thought Edmondson is missing it or going to miss the goal, but thank Lord he didn't. Yes, but as Klaus mentioned after the game, of course it's no secret that our offense isn't the problem that we have at the moment. But defensively, especially the first half, that was not really good. For me, the main reason is Jonathan Klaus on the right wing. He seemed to be very eager going forward. That's good because we know that he's really good playing up front. But what he's leaking a bit is getting as fast as he's going forward, he needs to go back as well, because there were a lot of situations where the right wing was completely left alone. The only one there was Amos Pieper, and he's just too young to really defend for 2 players, I think. It's not his fault, the first goal. I would say it's more or less the complete team that lost it a bit at that point, especially having a really huge chance before. But it's just how Klaus said it as well. You shouldn't do that against Stuttgart because they're pretty much bloody efficient and they will use every mistake we make on Friday.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see the selection choices from Uwe Neuhaus. We know that Cedric Brunner made his first appearance of the season as a substitute. That's a watch this space kind of thing. If he is fully fit to play, I would be more than expectant to see him starting at right back, and maybe Klaus will play in a more attacking role where he was very much benefited from playing further up the pitch later last season. We'll quickly run through the last 2 games. Kiel and Hanover. This game ended 2-1. Two goals from Hanover started the proceedings. Either side of halftime, Marvin Dukes and Cedric Teukert's goal, giving Hanover a lead. And then Kiel really dominated the last half hour. Lee Jae-sung getting a goal on 63 minutes. And they, as high as they pressed to get an equaliser, they were unable to do so on Oli Werner's return as caretaker coach for Kiel. Eva, just a quick word on this one. It was a much needed win for Hanover and for the moment relieves the pressure from Mirko Slomka.
Yeah, I think they showed the reaction they had to. Mirko Slomka stays for a bit longer now, but still way too less, especially as he's looking at the last 30 minutes or so, where Kiel were really strong, just missed to score, but still not really convinced about how Nova plays.
No, neither am I. The other game was Sandhausen and Bochum. That game ended 1-1. Bochum opened the scoring on 57 minutes through Silvery Ganvola, and then Aziz Buhadus, moments from time, getting a share of the spoils for Sandhausen. A valuable 3 points going through the wayside, through the fingers for Bochum, but good substitutions from Koshinat, pulling the game into their favour and getting a result. Eva, just a quick word on Bochum. Under Thomas Rice, they've had 2 games, no wins, but they've been able to stabilise defensively, more importantly. How have you seen them over the past 2 weeks?
Well, as you said, they seem to improve a bit. At least they didn't lose this game for once, and they didn't have to run on to actually get one back. It's a shame they had to take on the equalizer in the end, but I do like what Thomas Rice brings in. I think he needs a bit more time to really convert his ideas into the team. It's going to be interesting because tonight, German time, there's the annual general meeting in Bochum. I think a lot of heating from the fan side will be made. But yeah, I think there is a small light at the end of the tunnel. I do hope they, steer it around a bit, because I still see them as, compared to Wiesbaden, for example, as a better side.
Oh, 100%. On that note, that concludes our Matchday 7 review. On the other side of the break, we'll begin our Matchday 8 preview, and it's an absolute belter that will kick us off at the Elm, Arminia Bielefeld and Stuttgart. A massive encounter will kick us off for Matchday 8. This is a Friday night kickoff game. It's Arminia Bielefeld versus Stuttgart. 37 previous meetings, and it's one that the Swabians have had many delights in. They have double the amount of wins, 18 versus 9, 10 draws. The last time the two sides met, Stuttgart were winners 3-2. This game has a massive proportion in terms of encounter, and one that could almost, and I say this almost with some hesitancy, could really benefit the credentials of a very, very smoky kind of promotion outfit. The last time that Bielefeld beat Stuttgart was in the 2007-08 Bundesliga season. They won that game 2-0. Now, Eva, this is an important game for your mob, but of course, we must remember the last time you guys faced Stuttgart. They had a certain man, the Zweite Bundesliga football god Simon Terodde. He's not playing, so it's okay. So that means that the heir apparent is Fabian Klose. Can he and his troops find a way to get a win on Friday night?
It depends. We do have to have a very good day defensively. I'm quite sure our offense will manage. But it's going to be interesting whether Cedric Brunner is going to be back on the right wing. And then maybe we have Klaus playing up front, so like he played a couple of games last season. But there's still a lot of things have to work out for Arminia to win this. I just hope Stuttgart doesn't start to play very, very good football this Friday, because then I don't have any hope that we get out of this very decently. But yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool game to watch, I think. Just for anyone loving the Zweite Bundesliga, I think it's going to be cool. I do think Stuttgart will take the win.
Yeah, I think so too, but this is a danger game for them 100%. I mean, they weren't at all convincing against Greuther Fürth, and it seems that in possession, they're fine. They're just fine. They still have issues in their attacking third. And if Arminia Bielefeld can have an outstanding game defensively, then there's a chance. And there's always a chance in these kinds of games. And, you know, the Alm will be packed to the rafters, which will make for such a fantastic atmosphere, as they do so very often. But this really would prove to many of the doubters or naysayers or those who are deliberately saying they'll lose to not jinx their side, that they are very much a team that are to be reckoned with. We said it at the end of last season that they are a side that could cause a lot of trouble next season, and being this season now, and they've done so early on in the season. This is their biggest test, though. And if they can pass this test with a point or even win the game, then you have to say that this team is legit. They are, you know, 8 games in and you're thinking, well, they could make some real, real damage, and, you know, the Bundesliga would be very much a possibility. But again, wait and see. But as Eva weeps in the background, knowing that I've obviously jinxed Bielefeld and that they will be finishing in mid-table. I'm very sorry, but you know, we will get carried away. Let's move on before I cause any more damage to the Bielefeld sanctity and get barred from that city. Let's hope not. Auer host Dresden in the Ostderby on Sunday. A massive game in that part of the world. Two sides who most definitely do not like each other. This game's at the Erzgebirge Stadion. They've met on 62 occasions. 24 wins for Dresden, 18 wins for Auer. 20 draws the last time they met at the Erzgebirge Stadion. It was a 3-1 win for Dynamo. That game was at the start of the 2019 part of the 18-19 season. Dresden have had great success recently. They've won 3 of the last 5 meetings between Auer. This will be the first Ostderby for Dirk Schuster. Big game to have a response in, either for Dirk Schuster and co, after being slapped with a 4-0 defeat at Hamburg. This will be a tough game for them on many fronts, but to win back the support and to bounce back, a win is almost a must for Erzgebirge Auer.
Yeah, I definitely think the Wilshire reaction is a bit easier to go on against Dresden, and I think motivation is, like, lacking of motivation is out of question. I think the Ostderby will do its fair share of that. It's not going to be easy. I think Dresden really is highly motivated to carry on their recent success. So difficult for Auer in some ways. I think we will have a quite interesting game to look forward to, a bit more than might be thought like 4 match days ago. But it's really hard for me to pick a winner here. I actually go with a draw, maybe with a lot of goals, but I can't really say whether we will have a winner in the Ostderby.
I look forward to this game, A, because derby games are awesome to watch as a neutral. But how the contrasting styles of the way they play. We know Dresden as a side, you know, they work in positional play. They, you know, the wing backs, Chris Lerver and Valkvist, they are very progressive in the way that they push up the field. They're always very proactive in joining the attacks, as Valkvist was in the first assist for the Kone goal against Regensburg. They play this really nice style of football under Christian Pfeil, and if you want to read about the way that they play in terms of positional play and as a side that benefits from it, there's a really good piece on the false fullback .de, that is a German website that does do some English writing. Tobias Hahn is the magnificent mind behind this. He's also been on the podcast before, so we love any sort of work that he does, especially when it's Zweite Bundesliga related. So I'll retweet that at some stage. Give it a read, because it will certainly make you appreciate the style of play that they will bring, but they will win. I think they'll win 2-0 and continue their relatively good form recently. Our last Group 1 game is Hanover and Nuremberg. This is the Monday night kickoff game. This game will be on BT Sport in the UK and Ireland. This game is pretty even in terms of meetings, 53 meetings. 18 wins for Hanover, 19 for Nuremberg, 16 draws. The last time they met last season in the Bundesliga, it was a 2-0 win for Hanover. You have to look at the last four matches, and they've all been won by the hosts. It has been a while since Nuremberg have won at the HDI Arena. You have to go all the way back to the 2009-10 season when they won that game 3-1. It's fair to say that these two sides have underachieved so far this season, Eva. Can you pick a winner in this one, or do you see it ending all square?
I'd actually go with Hanover because although they're not, as we spoke about it earlier, not a particular good side or good side that went down, they better than Nuremberg, like really, really better, I think. It will be Hanover for me.
I would almost not be surprised if this game ends 0-0, which let's hope not, because that would be an absolute shame. As a game that's being broadcast in the United Kingdom and in Ireland to showcase that the league is actually a good league, a ballless 0-0 draw. But that's the way Nuremberg is set up. They're very passive and defensive. The way they move the ball, they've shown recently that unlike the opening couple of games of the season, they've actually wanted to have more possession, control the tempo of the game. Michael Frey has been a good addition, although he didn't do a whole lot in the last game. So we will see. It is a tough game for them, Nuremberg. But I'd say it's going to be a draw. I'd be very surprised if Nuremberg came away with a win. It'll be interesting. We'll have to wait and see how that one ends up. We'll take a quick break. And on the other side of that break will be our Group 2 games. We're going to start at the Continental Arena with Regensburg and Hamburg. Jan Regensburg will be hoping to continue their good history, though small history, against Hamburger SV. This game is on Saturday at 1 p.m. local time. They've met on two occasions, and it's been two wins for Jan Regensburg. The last time they met at the Continental Arena, it was a 2-1 win, but who could forget the side's 5-0 win at the Volkspark Stadion earlier last season? Although it is probably unfair to say that it is a bogey side for Hamburg. They've only met on two occasions. Is this a fixture that could trouble Dieter Hecking's side, Eva? Or do you think, based on their strong performances last week and for most of the season, that they should breeze past Jan this time around?
I'd go with your second suggestion. I don't really see Regensburg make too much trouble for HSV. Actually, they're, as we spoke plenty of times about it, they're not the same side they were last year. And as well as Hamburg is, getting used to the habits of Zweite Liga. You saw it with our last week. And I do think this will not maybe as clear as the Auer win, but it will be a win for the Hamburg side.
Yeah, it is going to be a massive task for Jan to repeat what they did last season against Hamburg. It is a much better Hamburg side than they were last season. There's probably not lots to say about this one. It should be a comfortable Hamburg win, but hopefully they get a good crowd there in Regensburg to spur on Jan on, and maybe they might be able to muster something up. We will wait and see. Our next game is Karlsruhe and Heidenheim. This is also a Saturday kickoff game. They have met on 8 occasions. 2 wins apiece and 4 draws. That makes the 8 meetings they've met. The last time they met was in the 2016-17 season. Heidenheim winners 1-0. Heidenheim have won the last two meetings between the two sides. I was right the first time. And they've won their last two games heading into this one. So they are one of the form sides going in. The last time Karlsruhe beat Heidenheim was back in the 2014-15 season. That was 0-0. Now, Eva, we've seen the best of Heidenheim, we've seen the worst of them, and Karlsruhe, we've seen a good early start, a bit of a slump, and now they're picking themselves up. How do you see this one panning out?
Very, very difficult. I still can't really get a hang of both sides, I have to say. For me, this is a draw just because I'm not too sure about both sides how they could win. I would have a small tendency towards Heidenheim, though, because they just know the league a bit better. But I can be completely wrong.
Yeah, I was going to back Heidenheim with this one. And I think I'll stick with it. The new signings, as we mentioned last week, have been very prominent. Robert Lippertz, who, you know, came in midway through the season back from Ingolstadt, almost feels like a new signing because he's really hit the ground running to start the season. 4 goals, as per mentioned before. I like the make. I initially didn't really dig the makeup of their side, but now it's it seems that the replacements have become adequate enough for them going forward. So I think this is a game they'll win. Maybe a goal, 2 goals for them will be enough, but we'll see. I think defensively they're still strong, so I'll back the Heidenheim side to take 3 points. Our last Group 2 game is at the Milan Tor as St. Pauli hosts Sandhausen. This game is on Sunday. They've met on 14 previous occasions, 5 wins for St. Pauli, 4 for Sandhausen, 5 draws. When they last met, it was a 4-0 win for Sandhausen. That was when St. Pauli's wheels were well and truly falling off towards the end of last season. But with the boss at the wheel, with a full preseason under his belt, it may be high tide they are turning it around. It's going to be an interesting game. They're both coming off 1-1 draws. Either can St. Pauli make this another win for them, or do you think that Sandhausen, who have been an under-the-radar team this season, will they take another scalp on the road?
Once again, not very easy to decide on. I do go with St. Pauli, though. If they, not like against Osnabrück, but at home, coming back to the performance against HSV, I do see them taking all 3 points. Yeah, as you said, Sandhausen very ordinary this season so far. Managed to get a point against Bochum, but not in a manner that is particularly good. So, yeah, for me, it's St. Pauli.
Yeah, I'm backing St. Pauli as well. 3 of the past 6 encounters between these two sides have been won by the home team, whereas the others have ended all square. I mean, I hope I didn't mean that Sandhausen have been ordinary. They are 5th, after all. 3 wins, 2 draws, and 2 losses. 8 goals scored, 6 goals against. So, they have been overachieving early this season. The Milan Tor, as we know, when it's rocking, is a formidable place to travel. It is a long journey for them anyway, all the way from Baden-Württemberg. It'll be a tough game for them, and I think St. Pauli, on the back of Mats Møller Daly, who has been outstanding for them this season, they'll win, and maybe with a little bit of comfort as well. We'll take our final break of this episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. 3 games to go. We're going to start in Bavaria when Greuther Fürth host Holstein Kiel. Yes, and the opening game of our Group 3 encounters is between Greuther Fürth and Holstein Kiel. They've only met on 4 occasions, a win apiece and 2 draws. The last time they met, it was a 2-2 draw at the Holstein Stadion. Both sides ended their games quite well. Fürth, in particular, were very strong for long periods of their game against Stuttgart. The last half an hour were very much a positive for Kiel, but still no word on whether Oli Werner will remain in charge heading into this game or if there will be a new man at the helm. Fürth, of course, looking to continue their relatively good form in the sense of maintaining in the top 6. Kiel looking to get out of the bottom 4. A game of significant importance for both sides. Eva, do you think that this will be the game that Kiel break their duck, or do you think Fürth will return to winning ways?
I go with Fürth, actually. Did like the display against Stuttgart. against Wien, of course, again, although they lost it a bit the past sometimes. But Kiel, as you said, it's not sure yet if Ole Werner will stay there. Maybe the second game is better for him to actually show a reaction, but or give some self-confidence back to the team. But for me, it's Fürth.
Yeah, I'm back in De Klieve as well in this one. I was very impressed with their display on the weekend, and liked the way they went about it in terms of their control on the ball, the defensive pressing and high pressing and really unified sort of way they went about things without possession, and it was positive. It was very positive against a team that we expected to roll them with some sort of comfort. They very much held their own. It's just whether they can translate that into goals and a home victory. That will be the only lingering question. But they were positive in their last meeting. A game that has unbelievable ramifications for the bottom dwellers. Bochum and Darmstadt. Two sides who desperately need a victory. They've met on 10 previous occasions, 4 wins apiece, 2 draws. The last time they met, it was a meager nil or draw. Who would have thought these sides would be where they are at the start of the season? Bochum winners of 4 of those previous 5 games before the nil or draw. Either the Ruhrstadion will be one of eager anticipation, but also if a bad performance pursues, you can assume heading into the general meeting the following day, there will be some very hot-headed Bochum fans if they don't get a result.
Yeah, it's really, really tough for Bochum. But for me, if there is a game they could win, it's against Darmstadt, because they're not really stable, as mentioned earlier, themselves. And it's not like against Wien, who have some good ways of playing but just have terrible defense. Bochum actually could get their first 3 points out of this. I do hope so, because in the end, I'd rather see them in the Zweite Bundesliga than some other teams. But they have to win. Otherwise, I do see really, really dark times ahead, and they have to win against teams that are very close to them to get out of the place they are now.
Naturally, and it's on both ends. Even Darmstadt, we as we mentioned earlier in the program, losers of 4 of their last 5. They opened the season with 4 points out of 6. Since then, it's been really rough for De Leon, who have just looked completely lost in some games. They've been fantastic attacking-wise sometimes. They've been awful in other games. No lack of consistency nor continuity, and that spirit that Demetrius Gramotz has brought into the team has almost disappeared in a 5-week span. So they're in must-win territory. Probably leaning towards a draw, which wouldn't hurt Darmstadt as much as it would hurt Bochum. So it's a watch-this-space kind of encounter. Our last game of match day 8 is the other Friday night kickoff game. It is Osnabrück and Wien Wiesbaden. They've met on 22 previous occasions. Wiesbaden have won half of those. 7 wins for Osnabrück, 4 draws. When they last met, it was a 1-0 win for Wiesbaden. And surprisingly, Wien have an excellent recent record against Osnabrück. They've won 4 of the last 5. And on multiple occasions, they've scored 2 or more goals. It's an interesting outlook for them, and it looks like there might be a change between the sticks for Wiesbaden, who have already given up 23 goals in their opening 7 games, with Köln Looney, Jan-Christoph Bartels coming into the side to help between the sticks. Eva, we can't stress enough how much of an important game this is for Wien, but it is a very tough place to play at the Bremer Brücke.
Yes, we have two sides that came up from the Dritte Liga, one that started very, very well into the season, especially at home. Sorry, I can't speak anymore. And then, of course, the other one that is not last in place in the table. And seems to lack something that, yeah, stabilized this defense and who just gives them, and I think they would be happy just if this game would end 0-0, just because this would mean they didn't concede two or more goals in at last. But of course, for me, this is not really going to happen. I go with Osnabrück, who they are a really, really good side at the Bremer Brücke, and especially against Wien, I think they will have no trouble continue that.
Yeah, I think Osnabrück will win with comfort, but it's Wien are going to be the story of one of the lesson stories of the season, but blimey, it's been a rough start. As much as it would almost be unfair for Rudi Garim to get the axe, it feels like he may be next because of their atrocious defending and really when they haven't been able to get anything going forward, it's just absolute bombardment on their defense. And yeah, if they don't win on Friday night, I'd almost be surprised if he survives. But we will wait and see. And you know, you never know. It is a good team for them to play against, the team they've had recent success with in beating. But we'll wait and see. We don't have any topic questions, but that is our bad. We've kicked an own goal. We didn't manage to put anything on our Twitter feed. But our Twitter has reached over 400 followers, and we thank you guys so much for giving us a like and giving us the support to make this podcast. Without you guys listening, guys and girls, of course, we wouldn't have a podcast to bring to you guys, and we thank you so very much. That is all the time we've got for this week's podcast. We do promise we'll bring the offering of topic questions for next week's podcast. Until next time, big thank you for Eva for joining me. Enjoy your weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football.